Blessed be His wonderful name. He's certainly worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again this Sunday morning. And we want to keep those that are still out sick in prayer. We had a wave of things sweeping through, but God is more than able to deliver, and He's promised. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. We fight the good fight of faith, and we're expecting victory. Amen? But we're uniting our prayer together with our brothers and sisters. And then also, this is the beginning of, you know, school is out for many already, and for some it's not far away, and so it's the beginning of kind of travel season, and we want to keep one another in prayer that the Lord would be with us as we venture here and there and take a little time off, whatever it might be, and that the Lord would watch over us and bring us back safely to fellowship together once again. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How great is our God. Amen. I'd like to read from Exodus, in the 20th chapter, starting with the first verse, and we'll read through the 11th verse. Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now recall, Israel is being delivered from Egypt, taken out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God himself. And he's letting them know, I brought you out. I am the Lord your God. Don't put any other gods before you. Don't do like the Egyptians. You've lived in Egypt, and that's all that you've known for generations. But don't do like them. Don't form a god out of clay or any kind of material. Form an image and then bow down before it and worship it. He's the invisible God. Amen. And we trust Him and we worship Him by faith, and we put nothing before Him. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, He's not a jealous God in that it's a kind of a jealousy that He'll go into some kind of a rage or fit, hurt somebody. It's a true jealousy. He has chosen them as a nation from amongst the nations to be His people. And He wants them to recognize that He's their God. He's their provider. He's their all in all. Thou shalt not bow down nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We know that in God's creation here on the earth, we don't know how long it took Him to create the earth and the stars and the planets, but we know that Moses tells us in the book of Genesis that 6 days was the creation of life that's here on the earth. And We know Peter tells us that one day unto the Lord is a thousand years. And so we know that in 6,000 years, God started with the lowest life form and came up to the climax of his creation, which is man that he created in his own image. And then on the seventh day, he rested from all of his labors. And we know that the millennium is 1,000 years. It is a time that God and his bride will celebrate the honeymoon of the lamb and the lamb's wife. And 1,000 years of peace will exist here on the earth. And it will fulfill that day of rest that was broken, that was interrupted in the beginning when man fell and God went back to work to redeem fallen man. So we see that work will be completed. And so the Sabbath day, it was Saturday, it was the last day of the week in the Jewish calendar, and it was set aside as a day of rest. It was commemorating the Lord's rest. And then as we looked at last time, we saw that in the New Testament that our rest is in Jesus Christ, that we labor against sin, but he tells us to come on unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I am meek and I am lowly. Learn of me and you will find rest for your soul. So we know that the rest that this day of rest was pointing towards is the rest that we find in Jesus Christ, the rest that we find in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth. And so this was a shadow of things that were yet to come. But we also know that these commandments, as they are, these are not 10 suggestions. And these are not, well, that's just Old Testament. There was a point in God bringing these, as we'll look at a little bit more this morning, there was a point in God bringing these things to the Old Testament church. And we know that the New Testament is, it's a covenant of grace, but the law is fulfilled by Christ, and the law is fulfilled when the life of your sacrifice comes down to live within you. The law will be fulfilled in your life. It's not a doing away, but it's actually a higher calling and a higher covenant, and it's a way of fulfilling that, not just in shadow form, but in actuality. So let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we come together once again on this fine resurrection morning, Lord, to honor the resurrection, to honor the life that you gave for your as a ransom for your church. And Father, we look to you this morning, the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, whatever our needs are, we just want to reach out to you as individuals, knowing, Lord, that you're mindful of us, knowing that you've provided already what it is that we have need of, but you said, ask and it shall be given unto you. So, Lord, we make our request known and we look to you and with confidence this morning, Lord, and with thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing that not only are you able, but you're willing to provide the things that we have need of, and you want to prove yourself to us just as you have to the church of the firstborn throughout time. You want to prove to your church that you are our provider, that you're our leader, you're our guide, you're our comforter, you're our strength, you're our all in all. You alone aren't our God. There is none other beside you. And so, Lord, we come to you, we look to you this morning, and we invite your presence amongst us to minister to us, Lord, as according to our need and according to your plan and according to as you see fit. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one. Be with those that are out, Lord, that are recovering from battles with sickness this morning. And Father, we want to thank you ahead of time because we know that you're going to raise them up. But we bring them before the throne, Lord, each and every one. And we just remind you, Lord, of your promises. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy this morning. Be with those that are traveling, those that are here this morning, Lord, whether whether this is their church home, whether they're visiting this morning, we just ask for a special blessing upon each and every one, that you be glorified in our midst. And Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we've been looking at Israel as they came out of Egypt and as they were on their way into their promised land. And we've been looking at these Ten Commandments that the Lord gave to Moses to give to the people on Mount Sinai. We see that it is part of their journey as they're journeying into the promised land, as they're heading into the promised land. And we see that God has things that he wants to relay to his children, to his people, before they even go into the land, that has to do with their behavior. It has to do with their relationship with him and his relationship with them, and also their relationship with one another and how they treat one another and interact with one another. And we see that these things are important because they're not going to go into the land until these things are first established. And so we looked at the first four over a few services already. We looked at the first four of the commandments, and we saw that those first four commandments had to do with how our relationship is with God, and what his relationship is with us, and what the expectations are, and so on and so forth. This morning, we're going to start looking at the fifth commandment, which we know that the other six, so there were two tables of stone that these were written on by the very finger of God when Moses was up on the mountain with God. We know that on one tablet were the first four commandments, which had to do with, as we said, a man and his relationship with God. But the other six were on the other tablet, and it had to do with man's relationship with one another and with other human beings in general. So, but first of all, before we launch off, and we want to launch off here in a few minutes, we don't want to keep you too long. Actually, the first thing I want to say is that I want to remind you that tonight we have a youth service, a service that's particularly focused on our young people. So please come and support that if you would, being the first Sunday of the month. So Monday, tomorrow, it marks the... actually, this isn't the first. It's the last Sunday of the month. Excuse me. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Monday marks the day that has been set aside in the United States to honor and commemorate those that have served in the U.S. military. But it's not those that have served in the military, but those that have given their lives in service of their country in the military. And it's unfortunate that sometimes these different holidays can be a little bit confusing, and we're trying to, okay, so what is this commemorating? What is that commemorating? So it's important. This is commemorating those that have spilled their blood, that have shed their blood in support of their country. It has been given the name Memorial Day, and it was made a federal holiday in 1868 following that awful, bloody conflict, that civil war that took place in America where brothers rose up against brothers. Basically, it was a fight in the family, and they fought for or against preserving the union of states that make up these United States. And at that time, there were in 1868 there were 37 states, and Arizona wasn't a state yet, not until 1910. It was the last of the lower 48 to join. So a lot of the western states, actually states that I lived in growing up, weren't even, they weren't states at that particular time. But nevertheless, we certainly do want to take a moment to honor those that gave their life in service for this country. And we never want to forget that freedom is never free, right? It is bought with a price, and it's almost always paid for by the shedding of human blood. And, of course, we know that the greatest of all memorial days is the day that Jesus Christ paid the price with his own blood so that man could go free. so that man could be free from the bondage of sin and be free from the penalty of sin. He himself paid that price. And so this Memorial Day, as we look to it, it's a shadow and a type, and we should honor those that have paid the ultimate price. As Jesus said, there's no greater price that one man could pay than to lay down his life. No greater love that he could show than to lay down his life for his brother. So we trust that as we take the time to honor this weekend those that have died in service of this country, that we also take a moment to appreciate and recognize that our way of life in America has come at a price. It's been paid for, so we shouldn't take it lightly, right? Because without the shedding of blood, we wouldn't have what we have today. So we've been looking at the Ten Commandments of the Lord, as I said, that were given by God to the children of Israel and were written by the very finger of God on those two tables of stone. And we looked at the first four, as we said, that dealt directly with man and man's attitudes, man's approach to God. And they were written on one of the tablets of stone. And in the first four, we saw that God reminded the children of Israel that He alone is God, and that He alone, and of course, you know, in contrast to the Egyptians, they had a God for just about everything, right? They didn't just have one God. If you were sick, you prayed to this God. If you wanted to get pregnant, you prayed to another God. If somebody died, you prayed to some other God that's going to, you know, prepare you for the afterlife. And there's the sun God and just all these different gods. And they had graven images to each and every one that they prostrated themselves before. And God says, look, this is different. I alone am your God. And I want you to know I have taken you out by my mighty hand. You'd still be in Egypt if I didn't bring you out. I'm the one that brought you out. And I didn't just bring you out just to bring you out and to make you odd. I brought you out because I'm taking you into a land that I promised to your forefathers, that I promised to Father Abraham, land that floweth with milk and honey. But before I take you into that land, I'm going to prepare you along the way. So the journey was actually a preparation. We look at the journey many times, and the journey was just as important as going into the land, right? And we saw that there were many that actually failed in their in the keeping of the word, and they failed in their approach to God, and because of that, they never even went into the land. But God wants to lay it out right up front, what the expectations are, and what He's going to do for them, and what the agreement is. It's kind of a marriage covenant that's taking place right here at Mount Sinai before 40 years before they go into the land. And here's what God's going to do for them, and here's what God expects in return from them. And so we saw that God reminded them that He alone was God, that He alone took them out of Egypt with His mighty hand. And He wanted them to know that, look, I'm not a council of gods. We're not all sitting around sharing power. And, you know, isn't His ways so much simpler, so much better? Well, let's see, do I pray to this one or do I pray to that one? Or man's ways, the devil's ways are a whole lot more confusing and a whole lot more complicated. God He's amazing in that He can make Himself so simple, and yet He is the great I Am. So He wanted them to know that they belonged to Him. They were purchased by Him and Him alone. And their allegiance was to be to Him alone, not as a tyrant that rules over you with a whip, but it's as a union, if you will, you know, just like a husband and a wife, you know. Any true husband, any true wife, they don't want to share them with other people. If you truly love them, you want them all to yourself. There's nothing insidious about that. It's as it should be. So His desire was that their allegiance should be to Him, and He wanted that desire to come from their heart, and not by decree alone, if you will. But he knows that the law alone cannot produce what grace alone can produce. And so we know that this commandment was a shadow of things to come, a shadow of things that would be fulfilled later in the new covenant, the New Testament covenant that was purchased and written in the blood of God himself. So we know that this commandment was a shadow of things to come because the law might be able to coax your heart to produce an attitude of submission, but your heart doesn't have to be in it to actually fulfill the law, the letter of the law. But the true submission that God desires that comes from the heart, it can only be produced and it can only be motivated by his grace, by his unmerited favor that he alone purchased for us and bought with a price. And it causes you to love him. It causes you to want to serve him. It causes you to want to please him in whatever way that you can, not out of legalism, but out of your heart, out of love. And so we know that over time, if all we're focused on is law and not a person of the law and not the intention of the law, but if we're just focused on the law for the sake of law, the law can be something that wears on a person until that person gets to the point where they don't want to fulfill the law any longer. It's just so burdensome. It's just so heavy. It's a yoke, and that's what Jesus was trying to point out when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and my burden is light, my yoke is easy." He was contrasting that with the yoke, the burden of the law that was placed on the people that the Pharisees and the Sadducees actually added to. In fact, they had more laws written than God had given the church. Man was adding these laws as they went along, and it just became so complicated and so heavy and so burdensome. And it wasn't coming from the heart. It was keep this, don't do that. It's a yoke that can become a heavy burden to bear, it would seem. And it becomes a list of do's, and, you know, do this and don't do that, which becomes the object of our focus rather than the one that gave the law being the object of our focus. So when the focus is only upon keeping certain laws without even really any understanding, without it necessarily coming from your heart, without it being something that's willing, but it's something that's done out of fear or self-justification, whatever it might be, it can get to the place where people decide, I'm just not going to pay any attention to those laws anymore. Phooey. It's not worth it. It's just too heavy. Instead, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you can see that if these things came from the heart to begin with, well, then that problem would have been forever solved at the very beginning. Recall that God gave Israel the law, not because he wanted to give them the law. They wanted a law that they would live. He had a greater covenant to come, which was purchased with the shedding of his own blood. And that's what he wanted to give man, but man wanted a law. So you can keep those laws and never love God from your heart or with all your heart, even if you love him with part of your heart. And if all the message is, if all the word of God is a bunch of do's and don'ts, well, then we will eventually get to the place where we get sick of hearing it and we will eventually go our own way, and the church says. And once that begins to take a hold in a person's life, it won't matter what the word might say because it will all be treated the same way. Whether it's coming to church or whether it's remembering the Lord's Sabbath or remembering that the Lord himself has bought us with a price and therefore we should keep ourselves only unto him. It really doesn't matter what the law says when we get to the place where we're just sick and tired of trying to keep the law. And we decide instead to go our own way and to serve our own way. And we don't want anyone to get the impression that when we are emphasizing this work of grace and the unmerited favor that comes, that we're minimizing the desires of the Lord or minimizing the law from that standpoint. But what we're trying to rightly divide here is that there's a difference between keeping the law rigidly from a do's and don'ts standpoint and fulfilling the law because that's what's in your heart. So God wants us to know that His Word is, it's not just a collection of laws that we spend our lives trying to keep. As we've pointed out many times before, the New Testament covenant is actually, so the Old Testament law is actually a description of what that life will look like when the life of Christ comes back into the heart of the believer. You won't commit murder. You won't lie. You won't cheat. You won't dishonor God. You won't serve other gods because it's not in your heart to do those things. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's something that's been changed, and now the life that's living in you will keep God's word. But you will make mistakes, but in your heart, your desire is not to make those mistakes. Your desire is not to go against the word of God. You want to fulfill the word of God. So when you make mistakes, you will make those things right. You will sincerely confess, and you'll want to be corrected when you're wrong. But you're doing it out of love that's in your heart. You're not doing it because somebody gave you two tablets of stone and said, here, keep this. But you're doing it because God wrote it in your heart, and you're fulfilling it from the heart. So God wants us to know His Word is not just a collection of dead, hard. I mean, the letter kills, but the Spirit giveth life. So it's not just a collection of laws that we spend our entire lives trying to keep, and then we justify ourselves by whether we keep them or not. Oh, friends, if we live that kind of a life, if that's what religion is to us, if that's what church going is to us, well, there'll be times when we do good. There'll be times when we read our Bible more than other times. There'll be times when we're praying more. And in those particular times, we'll feel like we're saved. But what about the times when we're lax? Come on, church. Take that halo off for just a moment. If they're just laws to us, each one of us, after a while, will interpret that law according to our own interpretation, and we'll keep that law according to what we think that it means. Some will make it so hard that nobody can keep it, right? And some will use it as a club over other people. But God doesn't want His Word to just be a bunch of quotes that we speak to one another and a bunch of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. That's not what God's desire is. His desire is for this to be a love affair between you and Him, for you to serve Him because you want to serve Him, for you to love Him because He first loved you, because of what He's done for you to want His ways in your life because His ways are right, for you to look for Him for leadership and guidance because He is your God. He is your comforter. He is your strength. He is your provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. So a person that is really and truly in love with the Lord, they won't look at His Word as a bunch of legalistic quotes, a bunch of dead things that we club one another with. When a person falls in love with their Lord and Savior, they will look at His Word and they will look to the things in His Word as declared boundaries of what the grace of God has given them, not just a list of rules and regulations. Because it isn't a list of rules, with each one adding an additional burden on top of the burden that was already heaped upon us until finally it breaks your back, breaks your legs. It's not a path that gets more and more burdensome the higher that you go and the further that you go with God, because now you're keeping, you know, a list of 29,000 things instead of 10 things, right? If that's all that it is a bunch of burdensome laws to us, well, then we're not in love with the Lord God to begin with. And unfortunately, that's how it's presented to the church by by certain men over the ages. It's been the job of God's enemy. It's been the job of Satan to try to pervert the mercy and the grace that has been extended to us. It's been bought with a price. But if you really love him with all of your heart, and you'll find out that there's something that you're doing that's displeasing to him, well, you can't wait for the moment to make that thing right. Just as it is with a husband or wife that are really in love with one another. They really want to please one another. They're not doing it out of some kind of duty, but they truly, they've given their heart to one another. The two have become one. Well, what you're doing for your mate, you're actually doing for yourself. Because you two are one. And so if there's something that you did out of ignorance that isn't pleasing to your mate, you'll want to make that thing right. So here's the people of God that are, they're hearing these things that are being brought to them directly from God through the mouth of his prophet. And of course, they find out first, as we pointed out, the deity of God, the supreme deity of God, and the position of God in their hearts, and what his desire is for a people, and they learn of his demonstrated love for them by he's put them first, and he's letting them know that, look, I took you out of Egypt, and I chose you out of all the other nations, and I'm jealous over you. And so he's telling them, look, I put you first. Isn't it reasonable now for you to put me first? His desire is to be first in their hearts as well. So they are learning what the right attitude is towards God, what the right approach is to God. And now they're moving from that first table of stone into the second table, which will tell them about their relationships with one another. And so God is moving now from speaking to them about their relationship with him. And the very next thing that he tells them is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which we'll look at here in just a moment, which is the fifth commandment that was given to them from God. So Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, aren't you glad that the Old Testament doesn't count? Well, that's just the law. That's just something that was written on stone. I didn't say it wasn't important. Don't mistake that. Jesus came along and he says, you see where it is written, but I tell you, and he takes it to another level. He said, you know, don't murder. Thou shalt not commit murder. He says, but I tell you, if you hate your brother without a cause, right, you're guilty of murder in God's eyes. So he's taking it to another level, and he's going from, you know, what you can observe as outward actions of other people to affairs of the heart. He's taking the matter, it's what's your motive, what's your objective, what's in the heart. So he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And you say, well, what in the world does that have to do with God? Everything. You see, the way that we treat our earthly father, the way that we treat our earthly mother, it has a lot to do with how we interact with God and how we treat God and how we treat one another. Well, Brother Doug, my mom and dad, they don't believe the Bible, or they don't believe the message. And your point is, well, I don't have to honor them because we aren't worshiping the same God, or we don't have the same religion. That has nothing to do with it. There's no conditions that are put on this. Well, if you agree with them, then show them honor. You see, a son or daughter of God, they will honor dad. They will honor mom, no matter what they believe. Whether they're right or wrong, they will honor them. Friends, you can honor somebody. You can work for somebody and honor that person and not agree with the direction maybe that they want to go or what their values are, but you will honor them. Well, my parents, they just stay home and stream. They just stay home and, you know, listen to recorded messages. So does that give you the license to be disrespectful to them? Of course not. Well, hallelujah. Well, I came this morning. I wanted to hear something deep. Well, I'm not going to obey the word in regards to my parents unless they agree with me first. Or unless I agree with what they're trying to tell me. That's not honor. That's not obedience. That's doing lip service. Well, I will only honor them if they're really good people. There's none good but God. Listen, friends, it doesn't matter if daddy is a fallen down drunk. It doesn't matter if mom smokes like a train. It doesn't matter. Honor your father, your mother. Respect them, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. So our attitude towards God is reflected by our attitude towards our parents. So much of, as I said, if you look at how Jesus was the very fulfillment of that law. Well, how is he the fulfillment of the law? He was the fulfillment of it because the life that was living in him kept the law. The life that lived in him kept God's word. It was defined by God's word. So if we can't honor our parents that we can see, well, then how can we claim to honor a God that's invisible that we can't see? Amen? So, boy, it's getting quiet already. Well, this is baby food. Well, you ought to be shouting then. So God goes from reflecting his deity and his position and his relationship with his people and speaking about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy and different things. And the very next thing that he says is, I want you to honor my prophet. No. I want you to honor the pastor. No. I want you to honor the church. No. The very next thing that he speaks about is honoring your dad and your mom. Now, friends, if you don't honor dad and mom, you won't honor any of those other things. This is where it starts. It starts with God, and then it continues on in the home. Boy, is it quiet. Just remember, we're preaching about another church down the street, right? I wonder if these things might be more important than we thought. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. In other words, in your adoption, in your position. What God has called you to, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He's given them a land that he's promised to them. They're not in that land. But he says, if you honor your father and mother, and this is going to be proven on the journey, before they go into the land. If you honor mom and dad, when you go into the land, you're going to live a long time. You're going to get to enjoy this land. Right? It's a promise. You are going to go into the land that I, the Lord your God, has given to you. Now, do you want to just go in there and die right away? Or would you like to go through the land? Would you like to taste the fruits of the land? Would you like to see that it truly is flowing with milk and honey? Would you like to enjoy the blessings of a Christian life? The blessings of being a son or daughter of God. You are going to go into the land of your adoption. And here is how adopted sons and daughters of God behave. Here is how they approach, first of all, their Heavenly Father. And here's their relationship with Him and so on and so forth. And then here is how they approach their earthly dad and mom. Amen, oh my. Friends, it doesn't matter whether we have been obedient to these things or not. We still ought to be able to say amen to it. Because our desire is to keep the word of God. From a pure heart. Not out of legalism, but because we know that God's ways are right. So here is their approach to their dad and their mom. I wonder this morning, what is it? You know, people keep saying, well, we should be speaking the word and we should you know, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and don't doubt in your heart, you shall be cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, you shall have whatever you ask for. Why aren't people doing that? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Why aren't we seeing things on a greater scale? I wonder if it has something to do with behavior. Oh no, that could be that. It is behavior. You will know a true son or daughter of God, adopted son or daughter of God, by their behavior. Their behavior towards God and their behavior towards one another. And it starts with dad and mom. How can a person obey the word when the word says, love those that don't agree with you? Does it say that? Sure. Love those that mistreat you. Love those that despitefully use you, abuse you for the Son of Man's sake. But mistreat mom and dad. Because they don't agree with you. And actually, you've learned more in your 5 minutes of life on earth than they did in their 30 years. And look, this isn't you, okay? What it's saying is honor them even if they're 100% wrong. Amen. You can honor them. And if they tell you to go rob a bank, you're not going to go rob a bank, but you can still honor them. Your mom and dad's not going to send you to rob a bank. But Brother Doug, I just don't agree with them. I don't agree with myself sometimes. So is that the standard that we go by? Who's the parent, after all? Look at how short the nations are today. And just simple things like, the Bible said it would be like this. Said that people would be in the, one of the signs of the end times is being disobedient to parents. Have an unnatural affection. Call good things bad. Things that are good, call them bad. Call things that are bad, good. So it's the first commandment that is on this other tablet of stone. It's not speaking now about your relationship with God. It's speaking about your relationship with fellow man. And it's the very first one. And it also happens to be one that comes with a promise to those that keep it. You want a long life here on the earth? Honor your father and your mother. How old was Mama, Brother Eli? 103. Let me just go out on a limb. I bet she had respect toward her parents. And one way that I know that is that I see the offspring and I see the respect that they have for mom and dad. Not an accident. These are things that are taught in the home. Sure, you're sure not going to learn in the classroom. These are things that begin in the home. So if you want your life on this earth to be long, honor mom and dad. Oh, but that's Old Testament. So are the first through the four commandments. Respect dad and mom. They brought you into this earth. Yeah, I know, I'm blaming them for it. They raise you. They feed you. They clothe you. They train you. They protect you. They serve you. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So God is telling the children of Israel, he's telling them basically, you know what? I want you to go into this land that I promised to Abraham, to your forefathers. I want you to go into this land that I promised you. And I want you to have a long life in that land. Well, nobody knows how long they're going to live. Here's a promise. I don't see any caveats here. I don't see any escape clauses. I see a promise. Do this and that. Do this and expect that. So that in your placing, you will live a long life. God wants His Word to mean so much more to us than a bunch of commandments. It's a love affair that's given to us by the very grace of God. And I'm so thankful this morning to have His Word. And I fully believe that His ways are the best ways. His Word is the best. And I truly believe that His Word is not grievous. It's not burdensome. In fact, in the Old Testament, we're told that His doctrine is like dew that comes down from heaven. Dew is refreshing on a blade of grass. It doesn't cause that blade of grass to collapse. It's a blessing. And when the sun comes up in the morning and it shines on that little dewdrop that's on that blade of grass, there's a little rainbow that's given off, showing that it's God's covenant, that it's God's blessing. It's a reminder of His goodness towards us. And it's refreshing to the plant as the day begins. It's starting the day with that so needed moisture. So God wants His Word to be more to us than a list of do's and don'ts. And I'm thankful for it. So God gave the children of Israel a land. He's given us a land too. As Peter puts it, he said, He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Right? He's given us the promise of His very own life. What a blessing it is. A true Christian life is the best kind of life there is on this side. Even if there's no heaven, even if there's no promise, which there most certainly is, even if there's no promise of life on the other side, this is still the best way to live. It's not grievous. It's not burdensome. It's not, oh, do I have to? It's in your heart. You want to serve God. He's worthy of your praise. You want to worship Him. You want to thank Him because you realize what He set you free from. So all the commandments are important. But this one is actually linked to how much time you're going to spend here on the earth. And you can keep all 9 of the other commandments, every single one of them, and live a short life if you don't keep this one. On the other hand, you cannot keep the other ones. I don't know how, but you cannot keep the other ones and keep this one and live a long life. But I guarantee you, if you are truly honoring your father and mother, it's because something else has taken place in your life, and these other things will show up in your life. So it's a commandment, young people. I know you're going to get your message tonight, but let me just give you a little prelude. It's a commandment with a promise. And if you recognize you're doing this as unto the Lord, right? If you dishonor your dad and your mom, your life will be short. Oops. You see, respect is something that's very important to God. And if it's very important to God, it's very important to His people. You say, well, that's Old Testament. All right, let's see what Paul had to say about it. That'd be okay? Can we go to the New Testament? Well, I want something deep. All right, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Right? Weren't they the most mature of the New Testament churches? The Ephesian church was taught deeper things, no doubt, than what the other churches were taught by Paul. Paul wasn't having to tell the Ephesian church to, you know, don't go to the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, and make a meal out of it. Don't get drunk. Don't lay with your father's wife. He didn't have to say these things to the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church was more mature. He could teach the Ephesian church about predestination, about the foreknowledge of God, the deeper things of the Lord. He could teach them great, wonderful truths. But I want you to recognize this morning that just because we're taught great, wonderful truths, it doesn't give us a pass from the foundational truths. That even a deep church that is mature, that's going on towards an adoption, that church still needs the fundamental things of God. The foundational truths. For instance, God had to tell the Ephesians, he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, wait, I thought they were so mature. Why does he have to tell them that? Because they needed to hear it. Then it said, wives, you know, honor your husbands. Children, obey your parents. So no matter how deep we go in the Word, just knowing the mysteries and so forth, we still need the foundational truths, and we need to not neglect to keep them as well. Husbands, love your wives. Women, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Let's put that up, if you don't mind. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, in the Lord. Here's what I think. Well, if your parents are telling you to do something that's blatantly contrary to the Word, of course you're not going to do that. But we're not talking about according to your interpretation of the Word. Right? Come on, friends. Verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Oh, wait, I thought that was just Old Testament. Here it is again. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, he says. He didn't say it's the first commandment. He said it's the first commandment with promise. And what's the promise? I love the fact that it's a promise. I love the fact that it's a promise. Because a promise is something you can count on. It's not a maybe. It's not an I hope so. It's not, you know, if you cross your fingers and it's, you don't step on a crack and you don't break your mother's back, or it's a full moon or it isn't a full moon, whatever. It's a promise. And here's the promise. Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So Paul is actually breaking this down and bringing in an even further illumination. The Old Testament says that you may live long on the earth. Paul says that it may be well with thee. Not only are you going to live long on the earth, but you're going to live well. That it may be well with thee. Didn't say problem free. But it'll be a good life. Friends, Paul said I fought the good fight. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So there must have been an element among them in the Ephesian church that needed this to be dealt with. Though they were hearing about predestination, and they were hearing about foreknowledge and, you know, the deeper things of God. It was a great spiritual church. We know that. But with every church, there are imperfections. With every church, we need the foundational truths. With every church, we need to learn our ABCs if we want to, you know. We've heard that so many times, right? Well, how can I teach you algebra if you don't know your ABCs, right? And in our own thinking, we might think, well, you know, what does learning the alphabet have to do with learning math, right? Aren't those two different subjects? And why do I need to know ABC in order to learn algebra? Why is that important? Because algebra is A plus B equals C. It's the language. The language, the alphabet is the language of algebra, right? And those of us that went deeper and deeper into mathematics, I've often, you know, we had to learn the Greek alphabet. And so I've often wondered, What do the Greeks have to learn? We use Greek letters for, you know, the symbols that are used in forming equations and solving equations. So if you don't know what those symbols are, what good does it do? How are you gonna learn the mathematics if you don't even understand the basics? So these things are always important, right? And it's the little things that are left undone many times, right? Great spiritual truth. People come to church. I had people over the years. Oh, he's just, you know, I can't go to that church. It's just shallow, you know, just real simple little things and, you know, trying to tell you how to live. Well, if you do those things, then maybe we go a little further. Those are important for all of us, for every single one of us. We never, ever, ever get so big that we say, I don't need those things. We do need those things. So these commandments, they are given as guidelines for behavior. And behavior is important to God. Now, once again, we want to emphasize that God's not looking for us to play lip service to these things, to do them out of some sense of duty, but he wants it to come from the heart. In a heart that's truly repentant, a heart that's really sold out, born again of the Spirit of God, you will want to do these things. So behavior is important to God. And we know that there are deeper things that have been being brought to the church, that are being taught to the church. But what good are those things if there's no manifestation of that life, right? If it doesn't manifest, in fact, that's how you know that somebody truly has a revelation. A revelation will show up. You know, if God's word is revealed to you, you'll see it in that person's life. Because it will be lived out. There's something that's brought that's applicable to your life. And it results in some kind of an outward change in behavior. You'll actually see it. So think about this for a moment. I won't keep you too much longer, but think about this for a moment. Think about all the money that's spent on vitamins and herbs and special diets, all to extend people's days on the earth, right? Oh, well, this one came from Jakarta, you know. This guy went out there with a machete and he just stumbled into this tree and it was glowing in the dark. And he brought back at great peril to his person. Piranhas were trying to eat him. And he barely, headhunters, and he barely made it back alive. And for $99.95, you can have not a lifetime, a 30-day supply. And they'll say really fast, no promises being made, no guarantee. It might add another breath to your life. Maybe. It's not proven. The FDA won't allow us to say that. But wink, wink, nod, nod. It came from that jungle. And nobody can pronounce it but you. Well, it's true. What's with this? Acai? I can't even say it. I can't even, you know, it's like going to Starbucks. I'll have one of these. You can't even pronounce them. But if it sounds complicated, it must be beneficial, right? People will spend massive amounts of money for the hope. No guarantee. There's nothing that says this will add 10 days to your life. You don't even know that you'll live those 10 days. You can get run over by a car right after you bought that bottle of whatever it is. But people will do it anyway. Hoping to get a few more minutes of life. Assuming that you're going to be around to live that extra time. There's no guarantee, in other words. But there is a guarantee with this. Amen. Brother Dutch, the fountain of youth is in the Bible. Obey your parents and live. And as Paul said, live well. You won't just live, you'll live well. And you'll live in your adoption in the land. Not out there in the world, not in Egypt, in the land. That your days may be long in the land. We can't help what was done in the past, but we're talking about what's ahead of you. It's a promise. And if we neglect to do these things, it's a reflection of other things that are not right in our lives. What a wonderful tool to use as a checkup. Not to expose anybody, not to make anybody feel bad, but to cause you to realize, you know what, I'm missing out on something. I grew up in a household, I did honor. There's a lot of things that I did wrong, but I was raised to honor my father and mother. And because I was raised that way, I honored my father and mother. We started, you know, my earliest memories as a child was going to church. And this was just something that was, you know, my parents didn't argue in front of us. I won't say they didn't argue. Some people say, well, my parents never argued. Well, somebody's not being honest there. Or somebody is passive aggressive, right? Because we don't have perfect understandings. And so a lot of times we will have discussions back and forth because we're trying to understand one another. And sometimes that can sound like an argument. But it was of the era that I was raised and how things were done. It was what was about, it was valued by that generation at that time, and so I was raised that way. So I didn't talk back to my parents. I did honor them. And I expect to, if the Lord tarries, I expect to live long. Because I have a promise. But that didn't mean that everything that my parents did was admired by me. Right? I didn't dishonor them in whatever it was that they did. But for instance, my dad would eat gross stuff because it promised to add a millisecond to your life. Right? I mean, and he'd mix this with that, and then he'd say, you want some? I remember inviting my wife over to the house and one time, and I'm reading a newspaper, and my dad's got a can of garbanzo beans that he's mixing with some matzo crackers, and I don't know. You know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But he's doing it because the promise was it's going to add more time to your life. So he's mixing it together, and he says, you want some, Doug? No, thanks, Dad. You want some, Jennifer? She didn't want to say no, so she says, okay. And she looks over in the newspaper, shaking like this. Well, we all got to learn. But my thought at the time, forgive me if this is wrong, but my thought at the time is, okay, let's say that adds 10 minutes to my life. Well, I just spent that 10 minutes eating that gross stuff. How about we just skip that? I guess I just didn't have the faith. Didn't have the same faith that my dad did. So these are things that are given to us to overcome in our age, right? We might have been raised in a broken home. We might have been raised in a home where there wasn't a lot of respect that was being given anywhere. And where respect is not taught in the home, where it isn't presented as a model for the next generation, we will find it's generally lacking from the, right? I mean, you got to be taught. There's got to be examples. But despite our upbringing, despite our background, God will have a bride that obeys his word. God will have a bride no matter how they were raised. Because there's overcoming grace, there's overcoming power. We were ignorant. We weren't taught right, maybe. Right? And we're sorry and we've repented. But how about from this point on? In fact, it doesn't say honor them while you're living at home. It says honor your father and mother. So I believe that you can turn things around and redeem a little bit of time even by practicing them from this point on. How many believes that? A promise is a promise. And there's no conditions on it. So when respect for mom and dad is missing, we generally find that respect for teachers is missing. We find that respect for bosses is missing, right? Ministers, pastors, right? Any position of authority, we will find that the respect is missing. Oh, friends, these are just general, easy observations. I'm going to read a statement to you, and we'll pull over here in just a minute. This is in the message here. We have no continuing city. He says, young people, remember, if you're fortunate enough today to have a daddy and a mother living, love them. Honor them. The hour will come when you'll think that they're the greatest people in the world if you don't now. And don't never, little fellas, don't never give this slandering word old man or old woman. That's not an old man or an old woman. That's daddy and mother. And some of these days, when they go out of the room in a casket of flowers, you'll hear them lowered down into the ground, and the pastor will say, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. It won't be an old man then. It won't be an old woman. It'll be mother. You'll be wringing your hands and crying. He says, that's right. Now, while she's living, give her flowers. Give her flowers now. Give dad his flowers. Pay the compliments now. Pay the respect now. And the best flower that you could give them is to obey them. And that's the first promise in the Bible, the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and mother, which may lengthen thy days upon the earth that the Lord giveth thee. And the church says, this is actually a condition for the body change. Now, have we made mistakes before coming to the knowledge of the truth? Absolutely. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a point in coming to the knowledge of the truth if you already knew it. We've done a lot of things out of ignorance. We didn't know better. Most of us, in one area or another. I shared with you that I honored my father and mother. It didn't mean I told the truth all the time. It didn't mean that I didn't break God's word in other areas of my life, because I did. Have we made mistakes? Absolutely. Most of us have in one area or another. But the generation that's coming up now, they have an opportunity to bypass the mistakes that we made out of ignorance because we weren't taught right. Though there is grace for those that did those things ignorantly prior to coming to the knowledge of the truth. Some think that rapturing grace is tied just to understanding mysteries, but Paul said, though I understand all mysteries and have not charity in my heart, it profiteth me nothing. So there is life that comes with the knowledge of the truth, and that life must be on display. Now, we pray for forgiveness for the things that we did in the past, and we trust God for that forgiveness. The things that we did before the light came across our path. And if there are so many things that if we could change them, we would. How many can say amen to that? There are things that we look back on and, you know, what would Paul have given to go back and never have held the coats of those that were stoning people? What would Paul have done to never have tried to do God a service without it being his will. Going against persecuting the true church of the living God. He did it ignorantly. But we know that there was grace for it. Right? And we thank God for that grace. But we see a changed Paul as he went forward. He didn't keep doing that. Right? The grace took away the marks that were against him. The grace freed him from that sin. But the knowledge of that truth manifested. You could see that Paul really did experience that grace because he walked forward in a different manner. He no longer did the things that he did ignorantly or out of ignorance. So our future behavior is truly tied to our revelation of the word. So if we claim to be the most revelated, if we claim to be the most deep, if we claim to, you know, have the most stripes on our shoulder, well, I've been in this, you know, look at that. I outrank you. I've been in this a lot longer than you have, right? Well, then there should be a manifestation in our lives, right? There will be. Now, think about this for a moment as we close. If we had a disease this morning, and let's say you're a young person, because this is really what I want to bring it home to. Let's say you're a young person, your life is just beginning, and you've been diagnosed with a disease that's threatening to take your life, and you're fighting for your life. What would you do to fight that off? What if a doctor were to tell a young person, you've got such and such a disease, and if you'll eat this certain thing and, you know, maybe add this certain exercise to your regimen, if you'll leave out these other things, it's likely, not guaranteed now, but you might get another 10 years of life here on the earth. What would a young person do if they wanted to live longer? Now, it's kind of a rhetorical question, right? And by that, we mean that you don't even need to give an answer to it. What would you do? We already know what people will do for things that are not promised. Spend all that money for maybe this will help you. What would you do to live a little bit longer? Not guaranteed, but maybe you can have a little bit longer life. And yet, the provision is laying right here in the Word. For all young people right now.
Right.
Come what may. No conditions. Because we love life, we would do what the doctor said. And if we were told this will lengthen your life, chances are you want to live, you'll do that. Now there will most certainly come times when dad and mom will tell you young people that you can't do certain things. Oh, this is where the amen stop. And it's not fun any longer, right? Well, they're saying that because they're looking out for you in the best way that they know how. I made a statement here, I don't know, a few years ago, I guess, from the pulpit, and I said, you know, knowing what I know now, there's certain things that I would have done differently raising my children, right? Well, I guarantee you I'm not alone in that. I guarantee you that every parent that's, if you've learned something, then you would have done things differently, right? And at that particular time, there was somebody in the church that didn't have a good experience growing up and never resolved things with Daddy-O. And because of that, Pastor-O is in the same department. You know, anybody in a position of authority, you can't trust them, and they're out to get you, they're trying to hurt you. So, you know, just say whatever. And so that person went and told one of my children that's not going to church that, oh, your dad, he just, you know, he apologized and for how he treated you, and right? I didn't do any such thing. I didn't apologize. I'm not apologizing right now. I did what I did at that time because I thought it was the best thing. I'm just saying, knowing more, I would have done this or that. There's not a person, I don't care whether it's your kids, whether it's work, I don't care what it is. There's not a one of us that if we could do a rewrite, we go back and change things. Either that or we're not learning. So it became a wedge. It became, well, he owes you an apology. And I can't believe it. He apologized to the church, but he wouldn't apologize to you. That's what I'm trying to show you is that that's somebody that didn't respect mom and dad. And you're seeing how it propagates. There's a promise. That thy days may be long. And that things may be well with you in the land. So, for instance, I think when my, let me just give a little example. When my kids were real young, I didn't really want to take them to a public pool, right? Because I know how, as we grow up, you know how it's almost public nudity, right? When people go to the pool and they take all their clothes off or most of their clothes off, that's not godly. That's not an environment that I want to be in. So that wasn't an environment that I wanted my children in, right? But if I could do a redo, if they were 4 or 5 years old, I might have done it a little differently. Because they weren't going to maybe notice that anyway, and it didn't really, it wasn't something that was a challenge to them, right? Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. But sometimes we can swing the pendulum over to one side, and we're doing the best that we know, and then God will bring a little bit more balance in our life, bring a little bit more grace in our life, and we're more apt to do things just a little differently. You understand what I'm talking about? So when mom and dad are trying to keep you from certain things, they're looking out for you. They're trying to, and they're doing the best that they know how. Right? And children need to respect that. So does honoring our father and mother, does it include the times when we're restricting their liberty so that they can't just do whatever they please? Of course it does. Or is it just when we approve of what they've decided is right for our well-being? Listen, friends, I grew up and my parents made choices that affected my life and in certain ways that maybe I wouldn't have done it that way, right? But did that deprive me? Am I injured for life because my parents tried to protect me from something? Of course not. I need to have an amen there. There's none of us, maybe you did, okay. All right, which one of you was born and somebody put the booklet in your hand? Here's how to raise your children. Here's what to do in every single situation. Anybody got that book? Can we make copies of it? First of all, what we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. So every generation has to learn a lot of things. And of course, the situations that we're presented with, they're different, right? Might be the same kind of a thing, but a kind of a different. And so we got to trust God and look for his leadership. And sometimes we do things as parents that we're led to do that we can't even explain. But we just know that that's what we're being led to do. Sometimes we can look back and realize, wow, that was the grace of God. Right? But what I want you young people to take from this morning is that there's a promise. Well, I don't think that's fair. Well, if you will just honor them, you will have more time to do what you think is fair. If you don't honor them, not only will you have to do what's not fair, you won't get time to do what is fair. Does that sound fair? Let's stand. Wow, we spent all that time on honor your father and mother. These are foundational things. This is taking it from a cold, hard letter that's carved in stone into, here's what God wants for you. Here's the more of the understanding of why God did what he did, why he said what he said. Here's the benefits of it. The wonderful thing about these things is it doesn't have anything to do with my salvation. If I honor my father and mother, it doesn't say that you may be saved. And that if you don't honor them, you won't be saved. There'll be people that are saved that didn't honor mom and dad. There'll be people that honored mom and dad that aren't saved. So it has nothing to do with your salvation, but it has to do with your walk. It has to do with the quality of your life here on the earth. And here at the end time, it has to do with our change. It has to do with the condition that the church will be in the end time that goes in this rapture. Amen. Oh, we want all the truth. So much is given, much is required. Right? That's okay. We don't say that it's not something that we're worried about. It's not something we're afraid of. We want the truth. We have a love of the truth. Right? And we thank God that there's mercy and there's grace and there's life to walk in these things. As we said, the whole point of this is not to rub anybody's nose in it. The whole point isn't to say, bad dog, good dog, and, right? The whole point is to learn God's ways because his ways are better. And as we learn of his ways and as we find the grace to walk in these things, we have not just life, but we have a more abundant life. Amen. It's a better life. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you this morning, once again, as we meditate on these things, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the understanding that you bring to those you said, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened, ask and it shall be given unto you. We're thankful this morning, Lord, that if there's a desire in the heart to know more about you, there's more of you to be known. For surely we wouldn't have a desire for something that doesn't exist. If I thirsted for water this morning, the only reason I would thirst for it is because, well, first of all, I would know for an assurity that it exists. Because I can't thirst for something that doesn't exist. But I also know that thirst is something in me that's calling out for something that I have need of. So, Lord, if there's a desire in my heart for more of you, there's more of you to be had. And there's more of your life, there's more of your grace for us to walk in these things. Not so that anyone can stand back and say, see what I did, now you go and do the same or else. That's not what it's about, Lord. But it's about having more of an abundant life. As you said as James spoke according to your word, that you would that we would prosper in health, even as our soul prospers. We can say this morning, if we've been born again of your spirit, if we pass from death unto life, if we've given our hearts to you, been quickened by your spirit, we have eternal life. We can say it is well with our soul. It's settled in the soul. But Lord, there's other these other two realms that we deal with. There's the flesh realm, there's the spirit realm, there's the life that we're living on a daily basis. And you told us in your word that you want us to prosper even as our in health, even as our soul prospers. That's mental health, physical health, spiritual health, every way. Your desire is not to withhold any good thing from us. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. The only thing you wanted to take from us is sin. Take from us things that would hurt us, things that are evil. But you came to give us life and that more abundantly. We're so thankful for that this morning, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, we want to give you thanks. We want to watch the little things. We want to be mindful of the little things. And if we're just hearing this for the first time, we want to embrace it, Lord. We want to say, Lord, teach me. Teach me thy ways. Show me your ways, Lord, that I may walk in them. For our desire is to please you. Our desire is to, and every one of us was born wrong. Every one of us, there's not anyone that can brag. There's not anyone that can glory in your presence. All have sinned, as Paul said, and have come short of the glory of God. We all are in need of your mercy and of your grace, of your sin killing washing of the water of the word, washed by the blood. Every one of us is in need of that this morning, Lord. But Father, you didn't come to just set us free, to wash away our sin, to pay the price for our sin, but you came also to lift us up, to cause us to live a life, Lord, that's a more abundant life on this side, to a life that's worthy of the gospel, a life that's what this world is looking for, this lost and dying world is looking for, to have that kind of life on display so that we can be ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. Lord, as we cross paths, as we walk by people that are hungering and are thirsting, that are that don't know you in the power and demonstration of your resurrection, that don't have your life, that don't have this blessed hope, this peace, the joy, the forgiveness, this rest, this true rest that can only be found in you. Father, we're like billboards that should be on display, that are advertising the goodness of the Lord, that are advertising the good things that come with being washed in your blood, purchased, being chosen of you, Lord. May others see that, Lord, and if there's a hunger and thirst that's down on the inside, may they be drawn, Lord, and may they come to know you. Father, this is not something that we want to keep to ourselves. It's not something that we want to force on anyone either. You're not forcing us into, it's not a shotgun wedding. You're not forcing us into a rapture. You're not scaring us into heaven. It's a love affair. And Lord, we don't want anyone to miss it. We don't, especially, Lord, if we know that what we have is what this lost and dying world is in need of. Lord, so if there's our hearts that we pass by along the way that are hungering and thirsting for you, Lord, may we get ourselves out of the way so that they can see your goodness, your mercy, what you've done for us, Lord. And so that can be extended to them so they can have the very same thing that we have, Lord. Pray that your blessings be upon each and every one as you minister to each and every one. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning. There's nobody looking around. It's nobody else's business. But if somebody feels smitten in their heart and they want to lift their hand and say, Father, I want to honor my mom and dad. And I thank you for my mom and dad. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. And thank you for giving them to me, giving me to them. And I thank you for the love that's in their heart. Father, I know that they're not perfect. But Lord, I trust you And I trust that, Lord, that you even watched over who my parents would be and how I would come here to the earth. And Lord, I want to honor your word by honoring them, but I don't want to do lip service to it. I want to do it from my heart. And I want you to help me with that, Lord. I want you to teach me, Lord, that move upon my heart. Bring that conviction in my heart, Lord, if I am not doing things according to your word, according to your desire. I want your spirit to move upon me, Lord, and remind me. Lord, help me to keep my own self in check and to not dishonor mom and dad, but not talk back to them, not be disrespectful, Lord, but just show them that honor that you promised would result in a longer life. I don't want to do it just because of that, but that is a promise. And I won't deny this morning that I do want that longer life, a better life, in the things that you've called me to walk in. So I just want to lift my hand in prayer, and I want to be remembered in prayer this morning. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand, Father? You see the hands that are lifted in the building. And Father, we know that this isn't something that's restricted to age. We know that as long as we have a breath in our body, that this promise is still a promise that comes from your word. So I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every hand, and Lord, the heart that lifted that hand before you. And Lord, I want to thank you ahead of time because you've given a promise, and you'll bankrupt heaven before you allow one promise to return unto you void. It'll accomplish the very thing that your word will accomplish the thing that you sent it to do. And if you've made a promise, you'll keep your promise. And I thank you for that this morning, Lord. I pray that you minister to each and every one. I wonder how many would say this morning, well, you know, that's something that I've tried to do, and that's an understanding, but I'm just thankful for the reminder this morning. I'm thankful for the importance, and so maybe that's not something that I necessarily struggle with, but I want to be a better model to others. I want to show that. I want that to be on display in my life so that it might be a help to someone else and might cause them to live a longer life. So I want to be remembered in prayer. If that's you this morning, you want to lift your hand. Father, you see all those hands as well. My hands are up this morning, Lord. Father, we want to emulate your word. We want your word to sincerely be put on display in our lives. We want other people to see it, Lord, to see the goodness. There are benefits in this life that people can see immediately if we put your word into application, if we put your word into the proper place that you desire for it to be in our lives. There are results that can be seen right away. And Lord, that is our desire. Our desire is for others to benefit from your goodness, from your mercy, from the goodness of your word. Bless each and every one, we pray, Lord. Father, as we continue on into this weekend, we just thank you, Lord, for those that have paid the price for the liberty and the freedom that we're enjoying this morning. And many of us have loved ones that have gone that way, that have paid that price. And we just ask for, Lord, as we reflect on these things this weekend, may we also recognize that the greatest memorial day is that day on Calvary when the price for sin was paid, where one went in the place of all of the rest of us and paid the ultimate price. May we recognize that. May we memorialize that as well this weekend. We love you. Just ask that you bless each and every one. Be with each and every one. Be with the minister tonight as he prepares, Lord, to bring something special to our young people. Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
what peace.
Trials.